Good evening. This is the Kathy Durant Show, broadcasting on BBS Radio TV on the iHeart Network. I'm Kathy Durant. We have a very exciting show this evening. My guest is Dr. Stephen Nia. He is the founder of Waardorf Studios, based in Los Angeles, California. They specialize in post-production. Stick around and meet Dr. Nia after the break.
I'm worried about Mom.
Mom? She's fine. These are the ones, right, Mom?
Yeah. Groundlings.
Sweet potatoes.
Daddy, it's salty.
Some things come with age.
And some don't.
Early detection of Alzheimer's can lead to better care for your loved one. Learn the early warning signs at 10signs.org.
What's up, NFL fans? Quarterback Josh Dobbs here. You may know me as the Pastronaut. This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time. I've always loved space in football. Growing up, some people told me I had to choose. But here's the deal. You can be great at more than one thing. And getting involved in STEM opens up your world to a universe of opportunities in life. Space isn't just for the astronauts.
It's for all of us.
It's not just for engineers like myself.
It's for teachers.
Students.
Designers. Mechanics.
Scientists.
And millions of football fans across the world.
3, 2, 1, watch out, here I come. This is my time. I'm on the rise, can't hold me down, I'm too fly. This is my time.
Get inspired and get involved today. There are STEM programs and science centers available in your community, so be sure to check out spaceforall.us to learn more and get started. This is my time. After all, there are no limits when there are footprints on the moon. There ain't no doubt in my mind. This is my time. Find your place in space. Space for All.
And we're back. This is the Kathy Durant Show, broadcasting on BBS Radio TV on the iHeart Network. My guest tonight is Dr. Stephen Nia. He is the founder of Waardorf Studios, based in Los Angeles, California. They specialize in post-production and AI production, which has fused now into film production. Dr. Nia, it's so good to have you as a guest tonight. Can you tell us about your journey from being an entertainment attorney to becoming the founder of a post-production studio? How did that all happen?
You know, that's really an interesting question. And that goes back years, actually. When I was very young, I traveled to London with my father. And we were visiting different places and different friends and so on and so forth. And one of the places that we visited, and we were actually meeting some friends there, and those friends were in the entertainment industry, was Water Street, London. Now, Water Street in London is a very, very iconic location for film and entertainment business and industry in the United Kingdom. This is where great filmmakers, including Alfred Hitchcock and many, many other early actors and actresses, were engaged in production and artistic endeavors. So that meeting, during which, by the way, I briefly got to meet and have a few words with Alfred Hitchcock, was really an inspiration. Really an inspiration for me to name the studio Waardorf Studios. So and that W1, sometimes you see in our logo. That is the district in London in which Waardorf Studio is located. So it's very nostalgic and at the same time very dear to my heart because of that experience that I had as a young boy.
So are you London born or are you from the U.S.?
No. We were traveling to London at the time for a visit. Yes, and we used to go back and forth or travel there occasionally. I don't want to say frequently, but occasionally. Later on, of course, I've been there frequently, but at that time, it was occasionally, yes.
That's awesome. So you did mention in your introduction that Wardour has been, it's 10 years old now.
Yes, correct.
That's your milestone now. So
Yes.
can you tell me about some of the highlights of making it to 10 years, how you started and what you're doing currently?
Sure. Well, we started Water Studios about 10 years ago, a little bit more. At the time, it was myself and Angelina Leo, my partner. And we, of course, Angelina is a very, very special woman. She is not only probably one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood, but also very beautiful inside. No, really, I mean that. She's extremely talented. She's a loving person, but she's highly disciplined. Highly disciplined to the point that sometimes drives me nuts. But that discipline, when you have creativity, you also need discipline. Because without discipline, you cannot really advance in that creativity. Particularly, you cannot really get things done, and you cannot certainly not monetize it and all of that. So that discipline element has been an important element in development of Water Studios, in our entire endeavor, actually, to be honest with you. And she also comes from media background. She was Angelina was a TV host at a very young age in the largest satellite station in China, the largest entertainment station in China. She was a host, so she comes from that media background. She's very familiar with both to work in front of the camera and also behind the scenes as in the business end of it. So I was it's very, very fortunate and fantastic for me to have that partner and to have been able to put together what we have today. And of course, we will talk in details about what we have today.
So, how do you describe your roles? Your role as the founder, what does that entail? And what is her role, Angelina Leo's role as your chief operating officer?
Yes, Angelina is our chief operating officer, and my role in this in the studio is basically direction, high level strategy, understanding where this industry is going to, and being able to get in front of it before the development or that particular aspect becomes fully exploited. So we try to stay always few steps ahead in terms of what will happen and what is coming down the pike in terms of our ability to produce, to create, and to deliver high quality Hollywood content in the most fantastic way that we know how to do. So that's my role. But Angelina's role is really the day-to-day operation of this machinery. She runs this entire business on a day-to-day basis. So she supervises and she oversees every aspect of operation, which without her, Water Studios would not be what it is today. Let me just put it this way.
That's so interesting. So, if you were to describe what it's like to do business with your post-production facility, how does a job come into you, or are your jobs created internally and you distribute them? Which one?
It's interesting. You have mentioned and emphasized post-production. And of course, that's natural because when we started Water Studios, as I said, our emphasis was technology. And the highest technology aspect of production at the time was, and probably still is, visual effects. When you enter the domain of visual effects, you go beyond the regular editing and post-production. You go into things that have to be created through imagination and through technology, and things that don't exist in real life oftentimes and have to be basically created from someone's imagination. That is how we came into this business in terms of our role in production. Now, since then, of course, we've grown in multiple different dimensions. We still do that, and that's one of our core business aspects. But we also have engaged into full production, film production, series production, that would be our own production, as well as offering other services within the film industry, including film location, which we will talk about, and also production services while people are filming at our location. And then now we, in the last 3 years, we have been heavily concentrated on AI research application to the entertainment and film industry, and developing tools, proprietary tools that we have and we use in order to deliver a very consistent AI-assisted production. And this is a completely new paradigm, completely new paradigm. I mean, entertainment industry has gone through phases of change. We all know that. We came from film, we went into the digital cinematography, we went from editing on the old film bays into Avid and so on and so forth. This change that is occurring now is really, really different than any other change that has happened before, because it fundamentally changes the essence and the production fundamentals in terms of cost, in terms of execution, in terms of creativity, in terms of monetization. I mean, every aspect, distribution is not what it used to be anymore. I mean, that everything has changed, and everything will be changing even more. And we will get into some of the details as we are on this topic, and I will explain some of the details. But this is what encompasses our business model today.
A medic, Sergeant First Class, E7. Went in the first waves, and when I came back, I didn't come back the same way as I left.
I was 11 Bravo, it was infantry. Deploying is what we sign up to do. Fighting wars, protecting civilians back home. I never got to do that, so I still feel weird around the title of veteran.
If you could say anything to that veteran, what would you say?
It takes courage to say I need help, and you realize you're not alone.
You deserve because you served. If you're struggling with life after service, don't wait, reach out.
I'm worried about Mom.
Mom? She's fine. These are the ones, right, Mom?
Yeah. Groundlings.
Sweet potatoes.
Daddy, it's salty.
Some things come with age.
And some don't.
Early detection of Alzheimer's can lead to better care for your loved one. Learn the early warning signs at 10signs.org.
So, when you talk about finance, being a financer of independent films, how would a producer approach you with a project? Would they come with script only and you develop it? Or can they come to you and say, I would like to partner with Wardar? And how would that look?
Well, of course, that will take many, many different shapes depending on the particular situation and the particular proposal that we are dealing with. But in general, it used to be before that we would require that someone will give us a clear presentation of a pitch deck and perhaps a finished script so we could really understand their thinking and their imagination and their what they want to create. So then we would then make proposals as to how we could participate in that production. Today, Kathy, I want to tell you, people can come to us with an idea, simply with an idea. Now, of course, if you have a treatment, if you have things already, if you have your color charts and patterns, and you want to know that the whole mood and all of that stuff, so great. We will follow those. Of course we will, because we, at the end, we have to create what is being imagined by the person who is actually creating it, right? So with our tools today, within a very short time, and when I say short time, I'm talking about days, sometimes hours, but days for sure, to be just on the conservative side, we will create and develop the fundamentals of that project to the point that we would have a full script of that concept. We would have breakdown of the scenes for that concept. We will put together a roadmap as from A to Z, how to begin and how to end and deliver that content. This has only become possible because of our relentless research and development for the last 3 years in the field of AI and its application to our industry.
So let's talk about IP, intellectual property. So if someone were to come to you, no money, just an idea, and you build it out, what would that IP split look like? Because it's their idea, how much of that would they own and how much would Wardour own?
Well, that's a very good question. Our general philosophy and principle is that we don't get involved and we don't engage as work for hire, except when we are offering our studio filming and the castle complex for filming. That is, you know, people come there and they do their thing, they make their movies. But when we are involved, we only get involved when we have a stake in the IP. And usually we are equal partners because we don't want to take away the essence from the creator. At the same time, the creator will soon realize, as soon as they see what we are doing, they soon realize that what we are going to add to that content, what we are going to, the dimensions that we are going to create from that thought or from that script or treatment that the partner is bringing into us are truly, truly, they stand on their own value. So we add value to that content. It's not just producing. Again, when you are work for hire, you basically follow the exact orders of person who wants you to do something, and then you do what they want. In our case, we actually evolve and develop that concept into something even more grand, even more interesting or more exciting or more out there in terms of the capabilities that we can offer both on visual effects, production, post-production, and particularly on AI assisted production. And I keep saying AI assisted production because I want people to understand we don't look at AI. Some people get nervous. I remember Hollywood still is quite nervous about AI. You remember the demonstrations and strikes and all things we had a couple of years ago. I mean, that was just all rooted in this very topic that we are talking about right now, or substantially rooted in these topics. But when you really get into it, and when you're really a part of that AI production space, you really understand that creativity still comes from people.
Right.
Creativity. So the ownership of AI still belongs to people.
Right.
Belongs to people who imagined it, who uttered it, who were able to describe it in any way, shape, or form. AI is a tool, but I want to tell you, it is a phenomenal tool. It is not just like any other tool. It is a tool that has its own, how should I say, ability to even add value to your value, if that makes sense.
So let's talk about distribution. Where do you go after post? Are you involved in that also? and distribute?
Well, we are not a distribution company per se, but we have obviously done that, but we are not a distribution company per se. We have distribution partners. And again, let's talk about distribution for a minute. Distribution used to mean something totally different 10 years ago. It used to be bound, boxed in with territorial rights and the form of content, the type of media being used in each territory. All of it had to be defined. And, you know, coming from my background, I've had to do all of that, both for others and as well as for ourselves. But that also changed with technology. When distribution became quote unquote streaming, that transformation made a very big difference in the way even the distribution models operate. And then from there, streaming, and I'm talking about things like Netflix and so on. But now the distribution has even evolved and has made a huge jump into something that is becoming available, readily available to just about everybody.
Right.
And this is extremely important. This is extremely important because some of the concepts we are right now developing for future of distribution is going to allow producers to come on our platform and basically define their own parameters for the distribution of their own content and demand or ask or formulate what they want to get from it, how they want to monetize it, and all of that, give it to the system and then walk away from it, and the system will do all the rest.
Well, is amazing.
This is what I want to make sure that I get across, because that aspect of distribution never existed before, never even thought about before, never imagined before.
Well, let's take a break and come back, and we'll give distribution the proper time so that we can thoroughly understand where it's going. So we'll be back in a moment with Stephen, Nia.
Thank you.
Stay with us.
What's up, NFL fans? Quarterback Josh Dobbs here. You may know me as the Pastronaut.
This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time.
I've always loved space and football. Growing up, some people told me I had to choose. But here's the deal. You can be great at more than one thing. And getting involved in STEM opens up your world to a universe of opportunities in life. Space isn't just for the astronauts.
It's for all of us. It's not just for engineers like myself.
It's for teachers.
Students.
Designers. Mechanics.
Scientists.
And millions of football fans across the world.
3, 2, 1, watch out, here I come. This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down, I'm too fly. This is my time.
Get inspired and get involved today. There are STEM programs and science centers available in your community, so be sure to check out spaceforall.us to learn more and get started.
This is my time.
After all, there are no limits when there are footprints on the moon.
There ain't no doubt in my mind. This is my time.
Find your place in space. Space for All.
I was an aviation maintenance officer. The idea of me, a desk job Marine, going to the VA and ask for anything seemed wrong.
It actually felt great once I decided to ask for help.
And welcome back to the Kathy Durant Show. I have a very exciting guest tonight, Dr. Stephen Nia. He is, and you know, I'm calling him Stephen now, but founder of Wardour Studios. And we've had a great time talking about post-production and AI and the many tools that are available and how it's advanced. Now we have crossed over to distribution. So, Stephen, tell us how we, once you get the product done, how do you get it to the marketplace?
Okay, great. That's a very good question. And distribution, I want to spend a little time, give some context to the question of distribution. Theaters are not going to go away because we move to a different dimension of distribution. they will stay in parallel with all of these other aspects. Netflix did not eliminate theaters. And now with the new distribution, which is available on the internet and online, is absolutely revolutionizes the distribution industry and the concept of distribution. And still you need distributors and all of that, which we are in the formal business of entertainment. But it's getting to a point now that, for example, the platform that we are in development right now, and we will be introducing it soon, would allow any producer to come on the platform, define his or her own parameters for the content that they have just finished, which was your question, what do we do after we finish the content? They have just finished this content. They come on the platform. They define their own parameters, how much they want to charge. Do they want to put any territorial limitations or geofencing on that? Do they want to just release it to the whole world? Do they want to have age limitations? I mean, all of those things could be defined. How much they want to charge for every episode, how much they want to charge for entire stream or for subscription, whatever formula they have in mind, they will give that to the system. The system, through use of its own AI intelligence and parameters, will actually set up that formulation. So anytime anyone streams that platform or that content on the platform anywhere in the world, this distributor will get paid. Now imagine, and this payment is automatic. It doesn't go through a clearinghouse, doesn't go through an accounting system, doesn't go through this, through that. You remember, even in the traditional distribution, there had to be accounting, there had to be monitoring, there had to be all kinds of things to make sure that all the revenues that are received from that content are being properly distributed to the producer, distribution fee, all of that stuff. So with this new paradigm of distribution, which again, it's not going to eliminate the other ones just like before, but it's going to add a whole new dimension.
Are you saying that you'll still go to theaters? You'll pitch theaters? You'll pitch broadcasts? Or are we talking all streaming-based and subscription-based content?
What I am describing right now is all streaming and online delivery of content. And I'm saying that this is only complementing what we see on things like Netflix and things like theaters, right? It's another dimension to the distribution space. So this distribution space is growing. We are adding on. We're adding on. And distribution of content becoming extremely more accessible to every producer. This is very, very important, Kathy, because remember, this, you would make a content. Then the next battle always was finding the right distributor, finding the right sales company, finding the people who are going to take your content to American film market, to Cannes Film Festival, to Venice, to this and that, and try to make deals so that you can get your content in the theaters or in various media forms in the worldwide or in that territory, okay? That is still there. But with what I'm describing now, every producer, even a small producer, even a one-man or a one-woman operation, can now create a content and then have that content distributed and monetized literally without middlemen.
Who would be the players? Who would they... Are you building a platform where people can come there and bring their content? So
yes.
Who are the players in this new industry?
There are not that many in the way that I'm talking about. In fact, I think ours would probably be pioneering that arena. The way that we have formulated this platform is very, very unique. And again, in the back end, in the front end, we want it to be very, very simple. It has to be simple because producers are not technicians. They're not computer scientists, you know. So it has to be very simple. It has to be you using your internet and browsing through and doing things so everybody could do it. But in the back end of this platform, there are some very, very high-level, complex, and complicated procedures and process and technologies, including AI in particular, and other computer technologies that allow us to manage the intellectual rights, to be able to associate that right with the owner of that right, so that link does not break, and then monetize it and make sure the funds are distributed instantaneously to everybody who is involved. And everybody who's involved could be the production company, could be the director, producer, distributor, and in some cases, if we're talking about deferred payments, even cast and crew, you know, all of that. So it is really creating a new way and a very powerful way for people to get their content out.
So what are you going to call it? What will it be called?
I cannot tell you that right now. Sorry. I cannot tell you that. I'll give you a hint. If you go, and our code name for this is W1 Platform. W1,
because okay, I told you. In your bio.
W1 is the as I said, is the one of those symbols for where the Water Street was located in London, all of that. But W1 Platform is intended and designed to do just that. And by the way, we did put out a 4-minute video, promo video. It is available on the internet. So if you just Google W1 Platform, it will come up. It's a 4-minute description. And then you will understand the concept behind this platform. But I cannot tell you the release name. The release name is not going to be that.
I've seen the work, and that's why you're on this show. I was so overwhelmed by it. It was mind-blowing. It was jaw-dropping. I was like, oh my God, how did you do that? It's really good-looking work. So will you be catering to long-form or short-form content?
For us, the length of the content, it really does not matter that much because okay. – Yeah, we can deliver and stream on that platform, whether it's a micro drama, which is, by the way, we have to talk about micro dramas because those are amazing. Something completely new new. Whether it's a micro drama, whether it's a television type traditional series, or as a feature film. Whether it's documentary or actual film. So that doesn't matter so much. What matters is that it gives the people in charge of that content the ability to really, really monetize it the way they want to.
Okay. Well, let's take a break. But when we come back, let's not leave out the music people. We need to know about music rights and that fits into the content. And so when the producer comes to you or the creator comes to you, they'll know how much to bring. Or will you provide scoring for them? Would that be all in the package? So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back with my guest who is so interesting, Stephen Nia. We'll be back in a moment.
Go wash up and grab your sister.
Okay, but first...
Where's Grandma?
Hey, Mama.
Ma.
I'm worried about Mom.
Mom? She's fine. These are the ones, right, Mom?
Yeah. Groundlings.
Sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes.
Daddy, it's salty.
Grandma's just getting old. Some things come with age.
And some don't.
Early detection of Alzheimer's can lead to better care for your loved one. Learn the early warning signs at 10signs.org.
Serious, man. I actually drive better when I'm on. If anything, I'm more careful. It just helps me focus.
A medic, sergeant first class, E7. Went in the first waves, and when I came back, I didn't come back the same way as I left.
I was 11 Bravo, it was infantry. Deploying is what we sign up to do. Fighting wars, protecting civilians back home. I never got to do that, so I still feel weird around the title of veteran.
If you could say anything to that veteran, what would you say?
It takes courage to say I need help, and you realize you're not alone.
You deserve because you served. If you're struggling with life after service, don't wait, reach out.
We're back. Tonight, my guest is Dr. Stephen Nia. He is the founder of Wardorf Studios, located in Los Angeles, California. During the break, before the break, actually, we were talking about distribution, how you get to put your content out and the places it's going to go now in this new days, in the new days of post-production. Stephen explained that they're coming out with a new concept in distribution. He's not going to give us a name right now, but we did cover a lot about it. But I had the question and wanted to bring it up in this segment of how does music play in this? What about music rights, Stephen? Can you tell us?
You know, when it comes to music, that industry also obviously has changed a lot, but it a little bit more in a more ambiguous way in terms of monetization. It used to be with music, it was very straightforward. You did albums, you sold the albums, and it was very clear how many you sold and how much money came in. People got platinums and this and that and so on and so forth. So that was the era where a lot of artists, labels, and music publishers and all of that flourished. Then the music came online. When the music came online, it really, really did not come online equipped with a monetization formula. That's why we had, in fact, we had sites that that would take music from everybody else and just deliver for free. You remember they were taken down eventually, but that's how the music came into the distribution in this domain. And I would say right now, as we speak, other than concerts and things like Spotify and things that the specific streams that specific platforms that stream music like Apple and some other platform, except those which to some extent have formalized the monetization a little bit, basically all the money in the business comes from concerts and merchandising. Merchandising plays a very big role right now in monetizing music content. So our hope is for the future is that we can also create, as we are developing this platform and giving the content producers the ability to monetize, we are really hoping to do a similar thing for music producers as well. So they can
also... So what would be that split though, Stephen? Like if there's music...
I don't know.
The background on a series or on a movie, is that something that the producer will have to work out with the music creators, or will you have a library that's licensed to you that you can just use the music?
It would consist of probably all of what you just mentioned, both having the music creator maintaining mm-hmm. ownership and maintaining that IP, and then getting licensing rights for that, whether it's used, whether people just listen to it, or whether it's used as a score for a feature film or series or what have you. And on the other end of the spectrum, they already exist libraries of music. It's not something that we're going to create. Libraries of music that that you can use, and sometimes you pay a small fee, and then you use that for your production and so on and so forth.
Well, it sounds like you're about to be a new kid on the block and joining the ranks of Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon, and you're about to launch a new platform. Is that what I'm hearing?
And we
called W1. Is that
The code name? That's the code name. It's not going to be W1 when it's launched, but that's a code name, internal code name. Yeah.
Well, everybody's going to be seeking you, trying to find out how to get content on. I've been seeing some shorts on Instagram of series that are just very vivid and the images and very dramatic. Are you going to be creating some of those?
I think you're referring to the short drama or micro drama type of content. I am so fascinated by that whole concept, and the way and how fast it is exploding. I don't want to say growing; it's exploding. Actually,
yeah, it breaks into
all over the world. All over the world. In a matter of 2 to 3 years, it has become a multi-billion-dollar industry. Kathy, it's unbelievable! Unbelievable what's happening there.
By the streams, but by how many times they're viewed, that's how they're generating revenue?
By streams and how many times, but more importantly, how many people?
Okay.
How many people? Because what's happening is that these, and there are specific platforms also have come about and being developed for just specializing in distribution of short content. But the whole idea is very interesting.
But do you think at the end of the day, we're losing or are we gaining if our attention span is getting so short? When are we growing at all? Or are we at a standstill mentally?
Yeah, that is a very, very interesting question, Kathy. And that really goes, in my opinion, it goes back to perspective that you have and how you view the changing world. It is not just that these kids are doing that intentionally by themselves or they chose to shorten their attention span. It is the fact that things have become so fast moving in life that they are used to this bam, bam, bam type of a sequence in whatever they do during the day, whatever they do. It is not about, of course, the very same people also take time and go to a movie theater and sit there for 2 hours and watch a beautiful cinematic creation. And they still do that and they still enjoy it. Again, that social experience as humans will never go away, never.
I agree with you because I'm happy to see theaters thriving again. You got these big, you got the franchise movies coming back, your Spider-Man, and Michael Jackson biopic is incredible. And you have all these big movies coming back. So it just sounds like it's going to be a place for both. It's going to be a place for shorts, dramatic content, and then people are going to keep going to the movies, and then people are going to keep watching television. I think that there's room for every part, every genre to coexist. That's what
exactly, And while on the, we are on that topic, we just finished, as a matter of fact, we just finished and released on the 4th of July of this year, a micro series, a short drama series called Invincible. And this it has 81 episodes.
So when did you release it to, in the US or China?
Well, this is going to be released in a sequence. First, it's going to go on our a partner platform, which is Flex TV. They partnered with us on this project from its inception. And the Flex TV will have first some exclusive time on this content. And then at the right time, then we will just explode it everywhere on various social media, on different platforms, even different short drama platforms would be able to stream it. And it will stream across, you know, all the various social media platforms as well. So suddenly, but you know, this is the beauty of this system. When it goes wide, you have access to billions of viewers, not millions, billions of viewers. And even if you capture a very small percentage of that audience, it amounts to tremendous amount of volume. This is why this industry within 2 to 3 years grew to billions of dollars. It's that simple. And everybody just pays a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about costs. What would a budget be for like 12 episodes of a drama, a short drama like that? What would the budget look like?
Well, you don't make a short dramas in 12 episodes because 12 episodes does not give the viewers that satisfaction because they want to see, they want to follow it. So I would say somewhere in the 30 to 60 episodes will be the norm for this, for this genre. But in terms of cost, that depends on how it is produced. If it is produced traditionally, means with camera and actors and so on, which some of them already are, and that's how they're produced, you would have a bit higher cost. If we use more technology and AI production and assist in that production process, then the cost will decrease, sometimes substantially and dramatically. So it really depends on the way you produce them. But overall, the cost of production for these things will continuously go down. And right now, it is, I would say, for an average length production, we're talking about maybe $100,000.
I was an aviation maintenance officer. The idea of me, a desk job Marine, going to the VA and ask for anything seemed wrong. It actually felt great once I decided to ask for help.
What's up, NFL fans? Quarterback Josh Dobbs here. You may know me as the Pastronaut.
This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time.
I've always loved space and football. Growing up, some people told me I had to choose. But here's the deal. You can be great at more than one thing. And getting involved in STEM opens up your world to a universe of opportunities in life. Space isn't just for the astronauts.
It's for all of us.
It's not just for engineers like myself.
It's for teachers,
students,
designers, mechanics,
scientists,
and millions of football fans across the world.
3, 2, 1, watch out, here I come. This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time.
Get inspired and get involved today. There are STEM programs and science centers available in your community, so be sure to check out spaceforall.us to learn more and get started.
This is my time.
After all, there are no limits when there are footprints on the moon.
There ain't no doubt in my mind. This is my time.
Find your place in space. Space for All.
I'm worried about Mom.
Mom? She's fine. These are the ones, right, Mom?
Yeah. Groundlings.
Sweet potatoes.
Daddy, it's salty.
Some things come with age.
And some don't.
Early detection of Alzheimer's can lead to better care for your loved one. Learn the early warning signs at 10signs.org.
That is insane. You will have people kicking your door in
Kathy, another thing.
$100,000. Would that be $100,000 per episode? Or what are we talking about?
No. I'm talking about $100,000. Of course, that's a cost. So maybe it will be a little bit more because, you know, we also have to make some profit on that. But think about it. When you have 3 minutes times 30 episodes, that's 90 minutes. That's almost like a feature film, okay? So at 40 episodes, you're almost identical to a feature film. And that feature film, at the minimum would have costed you $1 million in the old paradigm. At a minimum would have cost you $1 million. And
so
now
that's gonna describe the genre of this new evolution of filmmaking.
Yes,
but it leaves room to still shoot physical production if you want to.
Absolutely,
the output will be shorts. We're going into a world of shorts.
This is not just for the shorts. We are applying this principle to feature films as well.
Right.
Feature film as well.
And you're going to cost by the tools, using AI tools, where you don't have physical production in all of it. You can have some of it. Is that what you're saying? Is it a shared space, or is it all AI?
No, we are equipped right now to do either or. We can create the content 100% AI. By the way, Invincible that I just talked about, it is our showcase of showing how a 100% AI created content will look like.
It was gripping. I got a chance to see a few.
You got a glimpse of it. Yes, you got a glimpse of it.
Yeah, it's really good.
And as a result of this, we propose in some of the conferences that we can almost guarantee 50% reduction in the below the line costs of production.
Can you give us your website address and a way to contact Wardour if someone has a project that they think would be suitable for your company? And also, can you include what it's like to shoot on location at this castle in the background?
We are very fortunate, very lucky. You know, we are a small boutique studio, but in terms of our film location, we rival any major studio in Hollywood. We have 500 acres in our back lot. We have an iconic castle, which was built in 1924. This castle is absolutely stunning in terms of its film and filming value. It really creates a fantastically authentic ambiance for filming, and it sits on 510 acres. It's right here in Los Angeles County, about 1 hour and 15 minutes from the heart of Hollywood if you drive by car. If you choose to take a helicopter to our facility, we have 2 helicopter landing pads, and you can get here within 10, 15 minutes from anywhere in the Hollywood area, Burbank Airport, for example, or anywhere else. And the facility comes with a lake, and it sits in high desert, in right north of Los Angeles, in high desert. So we have seasons. We even get snow here. So we have the scenery here changes every month, every season. And of course, we also have a aircraft landing strip, which is under construction right now. It was a historic landing strip before. There's a lot of stories about the private airplanes that landed here, the things that, you know, the activities and filming that was done here at this location. But that landing strip, which is a mile long, by the way, is being prepared right now. It is on the premises. It is within the private property. And once it's done, a private jet can actually land here. So we are really blessed and fortunate to have this facility, and it has become an iconic location in Hollywood, and it's really, really brought a lot of, and it's been a also a catalyst for us to get to know a lot of artistic people, a lot of people who come here. They come here for the facility, but then they get to know what we really do, and that just forms into long-lasting relationships. So from that point of view, again, we are blessed, and we are very, very happy, and we are very proud of what we've developed here.
Well, Stephen, this has been such an enlightening show for me. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hearing what you're working on. And I do want you to come back to the Kathy Durant Show.
Absolutely. It will be my pleasure, Kathy. It's always good to see you, your warmth, your personality, and who you are. Thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to being with you again.
Okay, well, this has been a great show, and I'm sure the audience globally will love this show. Filmmakers all over the world should have been able to get something out of this, and there's still a lot more. Oh my God, I could just feel it. I was like, we had a questionnaire here. I couldn't even get to all the questions because the information is so meaty. But I look forward to seeing you again soon. And to my audience, thank you so much for watching. This is the Kathy Durant Show, broadcasting on BBS Radio TV on the iHeart Network. Until next time, good night.